Two summers ago, I was on holiday in a country I did not know well. I had been there for 3 days, and I was beginning to feel comfortable with the small daily routines, buying coffee in the morning, asking simple questions, finding my way back to the hotel in the evening. On the Friday of my holiday, I had planned a careful day. I had a small notebook with 3 things written down. First, a famous museum which had been recommended to me by everyone I had asked. Second, lunch at a particular cafe in the old part of the city. Third, an afternoon walk in a special neighbourhood that all the guidebooks talked about. I went to the main train station early in the morning. I had bought my ticket the night before. The station was busy. There were many platforms and the signs were in a language I could only partly read. I asked a man at the entrance which platform I needed. He pointed across the hall. I thanked him and quickly walked to the platform he had shown me. A train was about to leave. I got on. I was very pleased with myself for managing this so quickly. The train left the station. It was a slow train. I sat by the window and watched the city pass. First, tall buildings, then smaller ones, then small gardens behind houses. I was happy. After about 20 minutes, the train began to slow down. It stopped at a small station. The voice on the radio said the name of the station. I did not recognise the name. I looked at my paper map. The name was not on it. I felt a small, uncomfortable feeling. The man next to me, who had noticed me looking at my map, asked me in slow English if I was lost. I told him the name of the museum I wanted to visit. He smiled, kindly. He said the museum was on the other side of the city and that this train was going in the wrong direction. He said I was on a train to a small town, about an hour from the city. I was on the wrong train. The man at the entrance had pointed at the wrong platform, or more probably, I had misunderstood him. I got off the train at the next station, which was the one we had just stopped at. I stood on the platform for a moment. The famous museum was now far away. The particular cafe was far away. The afternoon plan, which had seemed so reasonable an hour earlier, was now finished before it had even started. I considered my options. I could wait an hour for a train back to the city and try to do at least the museum and the lunch in a hurried, slightly disappointed way. Or I could simply spend the day in this small town, which I had never heard of, and which was not in any guidebook I had ever read. I had time. The weather was good. After a moment, I chose the second option. The town was small and quiet. There was one main street with a few small shops, a church, a bakery, and a little square with old plane trees and 3 wooden benches. There were not many people. A woman in an apron was washing the windows of her shop. An older man was reading a newspaper on one of the benches. A boy was riding a small red bicycle very slowly. None of them looked at me with any particular curiosity. I walked slowly through the town. I looked at the small houses. I looked into the windows of the shops. I noticed a particular kind of bread in the bakery window, a long thin bread with poppy seeds on top, that I had never seen before, but did not buy, because I had not yet decided what I would have for lunch. At about 12:30, I went into a small cafe on the main street. There were 5 tables. The menu was on a blackboard on the wall, in handwriting, in a language I could not really read. I tried to read it. I recognised a few words. I gave up. A woman at the next table was eating a kind of soup with a piece of bread. The soup was orange-coloured and looked very good. I caught the eye of the waiter and pointed, very politely, at the woman's bowl and then at myself. The woman at the next table laughed quietly. The waiter laughed too, but kindly, and nodded. He brought me the same soup with the bread and a small glass of water. The soup was warm and slightly sweet, made of pumpkin, I think, with something else in it I could not identify. The bread was fresh and tasted of butter. I ate slowly. I was no longer uncomfortable about the morning's mistake. I was beginning to enjoy myself. After lunch, I sat for a while in the small square. The plane trees were old and tall. I watched the leaves move in the wind. I watched a man, perhaps about 60, sitting on the bench opposite mine. He was breaking a piece of bread into very small pieces and giving them, slowly and carefully, to a thin grey cat that had appeared from under one of the benches. The cat ate carefully and then sat near the man's feet, and the man continued to read his newspaper. Later in the afternoon, I walked back to the small station. I asked three different people, this time, whether the train I was about to get on was the right one. All three nodded. I got on. I returned to the city. I never went back to that small town. I do not remember its name. I never wrote it down, and I cannot find it on any of the maps I have looked at since. I'm not sure I would even recognise it if I went there. But I have not forgotten the small main street, the bakery with the poppy seed bread I did not buy, the soup I ordered with my finger, the old man feeding the thin grey cat, and the slight, gentle feeling of having been allowed, by my small mistake, to spend a day I would not otherwise have had. I think now that some of the best small days I have had have been days that started badly, that were rescued, in a way, by the original plan falling apart. The plan, when it works, gives you what you went looking for. The small accidental day, when it works, gives you what you would not have known to look for. Both kinds of day are good, but it is the second kind that I find I remember more clearly, perhaps because it has no list to compare itself against.